everybody. Welcome to Expert Talk. I'm Tego. You guys know what we do here. We talk with experts and authorities. And today, the young man is coming on. He may be young, but he's both. He's an expert at what he does. He's an authority at doing it. And you're wondering, all right, Tego, what does he do? Well, you know, websites have been around since, well, heck, the 90s or before. And people have been trying to figure out how to make these things valuable in their business. Everybody tells you, you got to have a website for your business. Do you have a website? A lot of people start them and don't finish them. Or they turn into little brochures that don't even turn a page. Well, this young man has figured out just how to turn your brochure into a valuable asset for your business and not break your pocketbook. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Hi, are you a business owner, an entrepreneur, or starting your own business and wish you had an opportunity to sit down with an expert in your field? Well, check your local listings and watch Expert Talk with Tego. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you very soon. Hey, welcome back. Like I said, we're going to talk about your media, your branding, your website, all that stuff that everybody talks about and says you must do, you have to do to be successful in business, and you don't really have a clue how to do it. Today, Richard Walsh is here, and he's going to talk about all of that. Hey, Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tego, thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you could be here, man. And again, you're wearing my favorite hat. What can I say?
I've even got the Darth Gator on today.
Okay, so we're going to talk about how I can get my own when this guy leaves, because I'm a bit jealous, but that's another show. Anyway, okay, so I came in and I said we're going to talk about websites, but we're actually going to talk about a heck of a lot more than that. But first, let's talk about what is so bad about having a website that, well, it's kind of a static ad. I don't think it's a cool thing to do anymore in 2021. What about you?
Yeah, no, it's a high risk investment. You're putting a lot of time and money and energy into building this awesome thing that's supposed to generate business for you. And then it just sits there and it collects dust and it's not doing anything. And then you start wondering why. And I'm tired of seeing it happen. So I'm out here to change that whole world.
And how are you doing that? I mean, well, before we even get into that, okay, let's talk about how you got to this place in the first place. I mean, did you just get up one day and say, I'm sick of ugly websites, I'm gonna fix them? What was your journey that got you here? When was the first time you designed a website?
So it starts back when I was 17 years old, almost 20 years ago. And I wanted to be a chef. Actually, I didn't want to get into this world. And what ended up happening was I applied for this program that was going to mentor me to become a chef. And I got waitlisted. And a friend of my mom said, hey, does he like design? Because that's something that I could get him in. I'm teaching a mentorship around doing graphic design. And then they asked me and I was like, okay. And ended up going into a competition and winning. My design was good enough to win. Got me over to the national level. I won there. Got to go to the international level. I won there. And I had this thought that, hey, maybe I'm good at this. So I started the business when I was 17 years old and then decided to travel for a while as well. Taught myself more, got to see different artworks in Amsterdam and got influenced by the graffiti art there. Got to see London and everything that was going on in the art scene there. And I started bringing it back. And then I just started kind of migrating into this world of web design and teaching myself how to code. And then I started learning behavioral science and how people interact with things. And I started making these really good websites that were doing a lot for people that were very simple. They weren't overly extravagant with all these bells and whistles. They just did the job they were supposed to do. And that got me
to where I'm today. Okay, wait. I got to cut you off because you said two things that are blowing my mind. One, you started at 17. You know, most people at 17 are basically deciding, you know, these Jordans are those. They're not starting a business at 17. Let's go there. Okay. And then you said you taught yourself code. You taught yourself how to design websites. I mean, that takes a lot of dedication. I know I'm a coder as well. And it's not something, this is not a group calling. You don't hang out with your boys on a Saturday night and say, hey, let's hang out, grab a six pack of beer. We're going to make a website. So what gave you that power, that drive, that focus to say at 17, yeah, this is the path I want to take?
You know, I had people that believed in me. And, you know, every time I saw some of the successes, I saw the people believing in me and that they had my back. And they would always push me to do better. You know, sidetrack a bit here. I grew up in an environment where, you know, even though you did really good, sometimes you got put down saying you could do better. And it took me almost 20 years to reframe that context to, you know, there's just so much more you can achieve in the world. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started living into it. I just had the right people that kept pushing me. And
so if somebody is at home right now and they are 17, I've got a grandson who's going to be 15 this year. I got a nephew that's going to be 17 pretty soon. So if you got somebody at home that's looking and they're going, maybe I want to follow in his footsteps, what would you tell that young man or young lady that's watching right now saying, can I do that too? Is it too late for me to be able to do something like that?
Yeah, well, what I'd say is try it out. And if you find passion in it, then do it. And don't be afraid to fail, because that's where you're going to learn. I've failed a lot and I've learned a lot. My grandfather used to say to me, there's no such thing as a mistake, just a lesson learned. Mm. And that's kind of like my mantra. It's just fail and fail fast. Because the sooner you do that, the sooner you can pick yourself up and you can try new things.
Can you say that again? I love that. Fail and what?
Fail and fail fast. The faster you fail, the faster you can pick yourself up.
I love that. Where were you when I was 17? Oh, I know. You weren't even here when I was 17. But I mean, fail and fail. That, I love that, because people are terrified of failure and they don't even get started because they're so scared they're going to fail that they look up in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, and they never did that thing that was truly their passion. Do you consider this, what you're doing right now, your passion? Is this what you see yourself doing in 10 years, 20 years?
I mean, it's a vehicle for my passion. My passion is to help people. And this is just the tools that I was granted with. And that's what I'm using to do it.
So what's the difference between a creative person who loves to just create stuff? You know what I'm saying? Every other week, they're creating something new. And somebody who uses creativity like yourself to build a business. What's the difference between it being a hobby and a business?
I think it's got to do with the goal at the end of the day. What are you trying to create for yourself? I mean, I've got a 18-month-old daughter. I've got a lovely wife. And my ambition is to create a life where we're not worried about money, that we can do what we want and have generational wealth. So I'm using the tools I've got to do that. And I think that's the difference, is you've got to have a goal in mind and use your tools to do that. Otherwise, you're just blindly creating, which is fine too, if that's what you want.
You know, to see someone your age, to sit there and talk about generational wealth. I know people that are, I'm 57, as everybody knows. And I know people that are 10, 20 years older than me and having a clue what generational wealth means. You know, they know the Kennedys. They're like, oh, I like the Kennedys. You know, but they don't understand that they can build generational wealth for their own families. So how did you get that knowledge? How did you come across that? Because it's not something you pick up on a Facebook post, just saying.
No, a lot of it has to do with my wife. She's really into investing and creating financial resources for us. And then I've had a lot of personal development training where it's really about, you know, just throwing your hat over the wall and seeing what happens. So being able to just commit to something and knowing if you take the actions, it's all going to work out.
I love that. I love that. Now, you had said in your bio and in your description, you had said you're an award-winning graphic designer. You said it a little bit earlier. Okay, who knew there were even contests? Who knew that was even possible? So how did you find out about such a beast? And how did you win? How many people were you competing against? Come on, tell me the dirt. I want to know.
Yeah, so there's a competition. It's called Skills Canada, because we're in Canada, but there's Skills World and all that for the different levels. And really what it is, it's a program to help young people or younger adults facilitate a trade and be taught in the trade and then compete against each other to say who's better. And that mentorship program that I mentioned earlier on is the program that led into that. So they're training you to be able to compete and then be able to do it as a profession, because they want people to, they want young people to be able to come into the world with trades or with experience, because that's the problem. You go to school, but you got no experience, so you can't get hired.
I read that you always say, always be human. I mean, isn't that kind of a given? Aren't we always human? What do you mean by always be human? Human.
It's in part of it's a mantra to just look at, you know, how are you operating in life? How are you showing up? And we have an ability to tune out everything else that's going around us and forget that the person we're talking to on the other end is human. This could be your day-to-day interactions, or it could be a sales interaction. And with where the digital world is going, with all this automation and bots and all this kind of stuff, we're losing the most valuable thing we have, connection. Mm-hmm. So how do you bring that back and create an experience that's human, that feels like you're talking to another human being? A lot of the things that I advise my clients on, if they want to use bots, it's like, go for it. But the objective of the bot is to get them into a converse, get the visitor into a conversation with a human as fast as possible. Here, let me redirect your call. You know, I don't know how many times you've sat there on a call center, you know, hey, my internet's down, so I'm gonna call in, and you're sitting there, press one for X, press two for B. Just connect me to a human and I'll explain my problem.
I'm so with you. Oh my goodness. Right? I just went through that with my local internet provider. I am so with you. But what about somebody, I mean, you know, even someone who's been in business for years, someone who's been doing this for a lifetime, maybe they're second, third generation, they have a problem with shiny object syndrome. You know, they see the next shiny object and they want to run towards it. How do you keep your blinders on to stay focused on what you're doing? Because what you're doing, and we're going to get way deep into it after the break, but what you're doing, you really have to be focused not only on what's going on today, but what's coming tomorrow and the next day and the next. And on top of that, you say always be human, but at the same time, you're automating quite a bit of this as well, correct?
Yeah.
So how do you stay focused?
There's tasks that we love to do and there's things that we don't. You know, checking your email, notification paralysis, you know, you get all those notifications coming through. So if you could automate what things you need to, what's important to you, like in emails, who do I need to be dealing with right away and who can kind of sit on the back burner, not saying that that's the best thing to do, but how can I deal with these things that need my attention right now? And automate those pieces so that I'm only dealing with what needs to be dealt with today. And then as you kind of take it a step further into your sales process and things like that, it's just a matter of focusing on what it is the buyer actually wants, because it's a human being on the other end. So we're going to have conversations about what their pains are, what their needs are, their desires. And that's where the connection comes from. That's how you keep it human.
So you say done is better than perfect. Okay. So I was always taught, you know, practice makes perfect. I believed that when I was a kid. I believed it for a few years of my adult time. And then I realized practice really just makes you better. Nothing really makes you perfect. But people stop themselves from even trying because they're trying to hit the level of perfect. So where is that scale for you where you go, this looks great. Maybe we could spend another 2 hours or 2 weeks on it, but we need to get it out the door. How do you get yourself to do that? And how do you get your clients to let go of it and let it go so it can start making the money?
So perfection is self-defined and it's something that's unattainable. But like, that's the base, that's the rule, okay? And where, how to get people to let go, even yourself, is what did your client ask you to do? They asked you to put a form on a website. They didn't ask you to style it. They didn't ask you to put all these validation pieces in it. They just ask you to put a form on the website. So put the form on the website. And then if you got time, make it nice, make it pretty.
I love
it. So one thing I know all of us designers hate is make it pretty, but that's the core essence of it. If you can get it done and done right, then you got time to put the effort and energy in to make it an awesome experience.
I know that in the business you're in, because I'm in the same business, been in it for most of my life. I know that you can lose track of time. I mean, one day you sit down at your desk at 8 a.m. and the next thing you know, somebody's talking about, are you coming out of there for dinner? You know, you are a young man, you're married, you have a family. How are you balancing your time? How is that happening?
So a lot of trial and error to find a system that works for me. So I've got in my calendar, it's blocked off by day, by hour, what am I doing? And not necessarily like what task, but this 2-hour block is strictly for sales, or this 2-hour block strictly for fulfillment. And I've got rules. I've made rules with my wife. She's made rules with me. This is what we expect. And then when I'm in work mode, I've actually got a timer and I let it run for 15 minutes. If I don't complete that task, I move on to the next one. And then when I'm done all the tasks, I go back to the ones that I didn't get done every 15 minutes.
Wow. That's really good. I need to write that one down myself. Here's my pen. That's really, really good. Wow. Okay. I like that. I like that idea. Every 15 minutes. See, I don't even do that. And that's a perfect idea. But now I have to ask you, how are you balancing social media? Because social media kind of, it's there 24/7, every day, every second. You could spend, I mean, right now Clubhouse is huge. You know, people are going to have AA appointments for Clubhouse because they're in there 24 hours a day. Nothing against Clubhouse. I love it, but I have to time myself to get out of there. I'll be there forever, jumping from room to room. How are you handling social media and things trying to grab your attention when you're trying to get work done?
I don't even have it open. When I don't need it, I don't have it open. I remove all distractions from what I'm trying to do. Even inside my Facebook, I've turned off all notifications. I've turned off the feed. And when I want to see it, I turn it back on. That way I'm not tempted and I'm not falling into the abyss that there is out there of social media.
You said, and we're going to talk about it after the break, you said that you know how to humanize sales and marketing. Humanize sales and marketing. That made me go, wow, what is this guy talking about? And how come he understands that? And I'm sitting here going, I need a class in 101 at the local university. What does he mean? So we're going to talk about that. So sit right there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Expert Talk. You guys know where you are. I'm Tego. And today we're talking to Richard Walsh. He's talking about technology, web design, being interactive, dealing with automation, and being human all at the same time. And remembering who your target market is, who your customer is, and the true meaning of branding. And if you don't know what that means, let's ask Richard, what does he mean by humanizing your sales and marketing? What's up with that?
Yeah, so we live in this world full of bots, and they're starting to prop up more and more and more. And it's about grabbing your attention and pushing you into a funnel. And then all these things happen. And then you're enrolled into these email sequences. And all of a sudden your email has 200 emails from the same guy within, you know, 3 days. It's ludicrous.
Yeah, true.
And I reflect back to a movie, Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross. The always be closing, A, always B, B, C, closing. And I lived 17 years of that in my business. And there wasn't much to show from it. You know, we got the projects in the door. We did them, but we weren't retaining clients. We struggled to even do our own marketing and our own efforts. And really what it kind of comes down to is the missing part there is we're not solving for the customer and what they actually need. We're not having the conversation. We're just saying, hey, you really need this. You need to spend 20 grand on a new website, but you really, you know, even though you don't need it, you should get it. Right. Mm. And that's the problem. When we started listening to what's actually going on with people, understanding that, hey, their business, it might be struggling in some way. It's not about some cases that, you know, they say, hey, we're not getting enough leads. Well, no, it's not that you're not getting enough leads. It's you're not getting the right type of people into your business. So what are your customers actually saying? And what are they dealing with? So we changed our approach, even to how we do strategy, to a customer-centric first approach. So what's actually going on in their world? What's a day in the life of Tego?
What do you deal with? You don't want to know that. That's scary.
But I do. That's the thing. And we do, because then we can create connection. And once I know what you're going through, I have an opportunity or an obligation now to provide you with something that can help. And I'm going to present it to you in a way that it shows up as an opportunity to have the most impact in your life, to make your life better.
So how are you helping your customers stand out, quote unquote, from the competition, especially now, like you said, you get into a funnel, I literally have 3,000 emails in one of my emails right now. and my son is going, just delete them all. If they really need you, they'll write you again. You know, just don't even bother going through them. So how are you helping your customers and yourself stand out from the competition?
It's all coming back to being human. The moment that they can look at their business, not as a product or service business, but as a, I'm here to help business, that's when traction starts. So they start producing content that's helping people get through a particular pain or problem. And then they go, hey, you know, that book I downloaded really helped me deal with XYZ. And it was by Chirp Media. I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go talk to them because they helped me. Because it's all about building that like, know, and trust factor. And once you've got that, they're there. And your job is to keep them delighted and happy and make sure that they are successful, because in their success is where you'll see your success. It's not about my wallet.
You said it's not about my wallet. When you're in business, if you're a young person, I started my first business, everybody knows, when I was 10. Okay. So if you're in business, when do you start worrying about your brand? Is it after you make your first million? Is it after your first 100 clients? When is a brand important for your business?
I think in some aspect, it's important all the way across the board, but it's more, what's your mission? What are you dedicated to? What are you committed to? That's what's got to show up. The story. And, you know, I think I can't remember who said it, but your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So what do you want people to say about you from the first time they meet you? How do you want to show up? And that's your brand. It's not your logo. It's not your website. It's how are you going to show up, and how do you be consistent at that? That's what makes the difference.
So wouldn't that mean that they would want a brochure type website? I mean, that's going to reflect them, right? I think they're boring as heck, but it could reflect who they are. It's going to say, hi, I'm Bob, and I do Bob's paints, and this is the kind of paint I yield. I mean, isn't that what they're supposed to be doing?
Maybe. Well, let me tell you something about brochures. So 10 years in the print industry of experience, I could probably guarantee you that 90% of brochures get thrown in the trash. So is that how you want to show up?
Right? Round filed. Okay.
Yeah. So a brochure website is essentially that. I used to do some door to door back in the day, back when I first started the business, and even up to the last few years. And basically what we would do is, because we were more of a creative agency at the time than marketing and sales, but we would leave a brochure of our portfolio. And I remember coming back to some of these offices to see our brochure sitting there under a coffee cup. They don't—
It was a coaster.
And that's exactly what a brochure website is. It's, hey, look at me, look how awesome I am. And it doesn't do anything. It's static. You're not capitalizing on the opportunity and how trends shift from day to day. And you're not using data to inform those decisions. You're just building a website and you're like, hey, I'm going to put this really cool slider thingy on here that zooms in and distracts me from everything else because it's pretty. But it's not actually serving a function for your website or your business.
So what kind of websites do you design? You don't design brochure type websites. I'm hearing you're saying it's supposed to interact with you. It's supposed to be more functional. It's supposed to be an extension of who you are. But give me an example of what that is. What is it that you do?
And so we build high conversion generating websites. So if your business objective is to generate leads for your business, meaning revenue, sales, then that's what we do. We create a website that takes your prospective customer through a journey all the way from the point of they don't even know they have a problem and you've just taught them that there's a problem, all the way to running through, as much as I hate to say it, the funnel, to the point where they're ready to close with you because they trust you. You're building the know, like, and trust factor throughout the entire journey. So the first time someone comes to our website, it looks one way, but you fill out a form, now it looks a little different. It starts customizing to the actions that people take on your site, their behaviors. They get presented with different opportunities because they're in a different stage now. So it's not static.
So you don't build funnels, you build websites, correct?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between, other than 1,000 emails, I already got that from you. What's the difference between a funnel and a website? Because now these words are starting to cross over each other. So What's the difference between the two?
So think of the website as your cruise ship and it's taking you to the destination. Right.
Okay.
And then the funnel is all the activities that happen on that cruise ship to get you to spend more money.
So a funnel is the cruise director?
Yeah. It's the happy-go-lucky one with who's wearing two with short the clipboard?
Shorts. I love that. I'm never going to get that out of my head now. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So you got to tell people before we let you get out of here, because I know you got to go soon, but you got to tell people how they get in touch with you. Who's your perfect customer? Who are you talking to right now? Are you talking to startups? Are you talking to seasoned companies that's realizing that they're behind the eight ball because their technology hasn't been updated in the last 10 or 20 years? Who are you talking to?
I want to talk to seasoned businesses. They've got some sales going on and they just, you know, they're not getting where they want to be. They're kind of on that cusp. They've plateaued for the last little bit. And what they want to do in their business is make an impact. They want to make an impact for their clients and they want to make an impact for the world. That's who I want to be talking to. And I want to be able to help them create an experience that's going to help tell that story.
And how do they find you? I mean, if you're in Canada, you know, and in this world, it doesn't matter where you are anymore. COVID has proven that. You know, you can get on Zoom, you could be anywhere and still be right next door. You're in Canada, so I'm assuming you take customers from all over the world, not just Canadian customers, correct?
Yeah, we've got customers in the UK, Australia, the US, Canada. I'm trying to get into that European market as well a little bit, but that's new. But if they want to find me, they can come to our website, thechirp.ca, and peruse our blog, learn something.
Wait. Thechirp.ca.
Thechirp.ca.
And what made you pick The Chirp?
So it's like another way of saying, let's talk about it. So we started saying, let's chirp about it. Like two birds chirping back and forth. Yeah.
I love that. We used to breed lovebirds. And now I got lovebirds singing in my head right now. You know, I'm having a flashback moment. Thank you so much for that. Thechirp.ca. Wow, I like that a lot. Okay, so before I let you get out of here, I want to make sure people understand that you are here for them and your company is here, But I also want to address people that are out there that may be going, man, I'm super creative. I don't know how to start a business, but I'm really good at graphics, or I'm really good at web, or I'm really good at anything. If they wanted to like contact you to get guidance, or maybe you want to hire them, or maybe point them in the right direction, is that something that you do?
Yeah, I mean, we mentor and coach all the time. We also take students right out of school, give them the coaching that they need to get the actual real world experience. So I'm always open to having a conversation and seeing what people want to learn, help them get them on their journey so that they can feel their passion fulfilled.
So what's next for you? What's coming up next in the next year, the next 5 years? What are you guys planning? Give me the inside dirt.
Yeah, I mean, business-wise, what we're planning is we've got a few pieces of software we're developing that we're going to be launching in the next quarter that are going to help people educate their clients. So education is the new marketing. If we can educate people, it's going to be a lot easier. And then on the personal side, next couple of years, my wife and I want to be able to travel the world, just make a choice. You know, COVID gone bearing, obviously, but we want to be able to just pick up and travel.
Well, I want to thank you for being on. I want to thank you for sharing. I mean, you know, if I could have started now, I'd probably be way further down the road. But when I started doing websites, it was those things that were god ugly with the little boxes, and you waited for like 20 minutes for it to load. And then once it loaded, you went, why did I wait for that? Yeah, that's when I started. I'm so glad it's come way further down the road from that. And I hope you come back, because I know people are going to have questions. Maybe we can do a Q&A live stream or something down the road and just kind of answer some of the questions that comes our way. And I thank you so much for being on the show. You are amazing.
Thank you so much for having me here. It's been a real honor and pleasure.
Hey, you guys, I hope you understand the message that I'm trying to convey here. I bring you guys experts all the time from all walks of life. But guess where we are when we do this? We're sitting on Zoom because in the middle of COVID, I don't know if you're watching this in 2028 or 2045, but right now it's 2021 and we're right in the middle of COVID. So we have to do this through Zoom and other platforms because we can't travel right now, you know? And if you're doing all of that, you're using technology. People are finding themselves using the web and using streaming media in different arenas, including restaurants. You know, you've got to understand things like this. You need people like Richard on your side, got your back, because if you're going to spend that money, and you are, if you want to grow this day, you might as well spend it with someone who understands where you are, where you're going, and can help you see a vision in a human way. I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.